Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Good morning, this is Todd Zwillick filling in for John Hockenberry. I'm here with Celeste. A historic vote in the Senate has just come to an end.
Mrs. Boxer. Mrs. Boxer. Aye. Mr. Brown.
Aye.
Mr. Brown.
Here's Harry Reid now, the Senate Majority Leader.
Mr. Brownback.
Progress and opportunity are what this historic bill represents. To those who so admirably care so much for their fellow man that they demand more, I say, this is just the beginning. With Senator Ted Kennedy's voice booming in our ears, with his passion in our hearts, we say, as he said, the work goes on, the cause endures.
The 60-39 vote on this morning's cold Christmas Eve morning capped months of negotiation and 24 days of floor debate. Sometimes it seemed like it went on for 24 hours a day. It also followed a succession of failures by past Congresses to get to this point. Vice President Joe Biden presided as 58 Democrats and two independents voted yes. Republicans unanimously voted no. We want to get some scene from the floor and from off the Senate floor now. And joining us to do it, John Stanton, Senate reporter for Roll Call newspaper on Capitol Hill, and we're rejoined by Mary Agnes Carey. Mary Agnes is senior correspondent for Kaiser Health News. She's in the Senate as well. John Stanton, I imagine you had some time to spend in the Senate chamber during the vote. What did you see?
Well, we saw a couple of interesting things, I think. One, most notably on the Republican side, is the fact that Senator Jim Bunning from Kentucky, who's retiring and I guess increasingly checking out, did not show up for the vote. He also did not show up for votes yesterday. Bernie Sanders, also the independent from Vermont, was the last vote for passage of the bill. He sort of came running in at the end of the vote and sat down and voted aye to applause from his colleagues.
Voted aye. Was Sanders in some ways, his vote wasn't needed on this because you only need 51, so was Sanders kind of bucking to be a holdout here?
No, I think he just overslept.
he just overslept. All right, Mary Agnes, this is the kind of vote, you know, senators say they work their whole careers to pass. Just political rhetoric, or do you think there are some members of the body who really feel like this is a career accomplishment?
Oh, I absolutely do. I mean, look at some of the key lieutenants to Harry Reid, the majority leader on this, Chris Dodd, Tom Harkin, Max Baucus. These are folks, Dick Durbin from Illinois, long legislative histories, and Senator Durbin, who's the assistant majority leader, said at the microphones just a few minutes ago that this is, you know, one of the most significant votes in a member's tenure. Chris Dodd said the same thing. I think they completely will look at this as one of the pinnacles of their legislative careers.
Now, Mary Agnes, Senator Mitch McConnell said, we heard him before say, this debate is far from over. It sounded almost
right, like
a threat, and I want to ask you the policy question, and John, I'll ask you sort of the politics question of that threat. Mary Agnes, the minority leader, says this is far from over. It may have more to go, but can Republicans do much now to derail this process?
Well, I think that they will continue to talk, especially now. We're heading up on a Christmas break, holiday break for the Senate and the House, a three-week period, if not longer for members, depending on when which chamber comes in. So I think that Republicans will continue to hammer away at this bill, at all the things they don't like. They don't like the Medicare cuts. They feel that it's too much government intrusion into your lives. They feel that it will not reduce health care costs. So that message will continue over the break, and it will continue when they return. And we will have a period, it's undetermined at this point, of House and Senate conference negotiations. And throughout those talks, Republicans will continue to hammer away at the bill. So their message of this bill will be bad for America is going to continue. And I think that's what they're talking about. And then when it comes time to get to a conference report, they will use every procedural tactic, as they have during this debate, to delay that. So I think that you'll see a repeat, if you will, of what we've had the last 25 days on the floor will certainly come to pass when a conference report is produced.
John Stanton from Roll Call, I want to turn that question around on you, because the strategy from Republicans so far seems to have been make this process take as long as possible, and in the meantime, really try to do your best to turn the public against the bill. That strategy continue, do you think?
Absolutely. I mean, they frankly have done, I think, a very, very good job of turning the public against the bill. I mean, the public, when you ask in polling, you look at, you know, when you ask people what they know about the bill, a lot of what they say they know is not necessarily what's in the bill, but it's what Republicans have been saying is in the bill and what the Republicans have been saying the bill will do. I think you're going to definitely see that continue. I think the one problem Republicans are going to have is that at this point, it looks like in the conference committee, they have about $30 billion difference between the House and Senate bill and sort of the $900 billion cost that President Obama has put on as the outside limit on this thing. That money is going to be used to just frankly buy off votes in the House, it looks like. They're going to try to like give as many sweeteners as they possibly can to get enough votes in the House to make sure they can get it through the House, keeping the bill sort of as close to the Senate version as they possibly can to keep their 60 votes over here.
Now, you say buy off, just so that people know, that's not necessarily writing a check to a senator's campaign fund, but it's maybe giving something for a congressman's state. Here's some money for some hospitals in your district. Here's some Medicaid money.
Well, exactly. And, you know, people sort of, it's become a sort of maligned kind of operation, but really it's the classic part of legislating. I mean, it's always been done since the beginning of time, certainly in this country, but in pretty much any legislative body, that there, when a member is uncomfortable with a bill or is having problems with a bill, they will often be given sweeteners or some money or some, you know, provisions in that bill or another bill to help bring them along. So it's a fairly common practice.
$100 million for Medicaid in Nebraska or $300 million for Louisiana. So-called around the Senate to Louisiana purchase, something like that.
The pork. This is what we refer to as the bacon.
It's a little different from pork, but effectively, Celeste, you're exactly right. It winds up being almost the exact same thing. Mary Agnes, let me ask you, you know, we're talking with you and with John Stanton a little bit about the Republican strategy of turning the public against this bill. A lot of the big provisions don't take effect for years, and there's an election coming up. Is there enough in this bill that Democrats can turn it around and justify its passage by the next election? It's not all spending. It's not all pork. There's something in it for you right now.
They'll talk about, for example, that you are going to get help with pre-existing medical conditions for kids. That kicks in the next 6 months. Reinsurance pools for people that can't get insurance. Those would kick in immediately. And again, some annual, lifetime limits would kick in. They're going to go to provisions that will go into effect immediately and say, this will help you now, and the rest of the bill will help you later.
And there's a provision in there that if you're, at least in the Senate version, if your kids are 26 or between 18 and 26,
that's right,
they can stay on your insurance.
They can stay on your insurance. That's exactly what they'll do. They'll go through what can go into effect immediately and use that as a bridge, if you will, to full implementation, which is, the Senate bill isn't until 2014. So that could cause a bit of a political problem in the midterm elections and the presidential election. House bill, a lot of these provisions kick in 2013. So in conference, they might try to move those start dates up.
Move those up. And Democrats have a lot of motivation for moving them up because there's an election much, much sooner than that. And you don't want it to be all about $1 trillion out the window. You want people to think they've gotten something out of it. Mary Agnes Carey is senior correspondent for Kaiser Health News. She's in the Senate right now. So is John Stanton, Senate reporter for Roll Call. Hey, thanks a lot, you both, for joining us. We appreciate it. And now here's a look at some of the stories we're following this morning.
As we've been talking about, in the past hour, the U.S. Senate passed a landmark health care bill. It passed by 60 to 39 votes. That's 58 Democrats and two independents against 39 Republican votes. One of the leading Democrats in the Senate, Chris Dodd, spoke in the past half hour.
This was an enormous victory for the American public, and I'm proud to have been one vote was cast in favor of this effort.
The bill extends insurance to nearly 30 million Americans who don't have it and stops insurance companies from denying benefits because of pre-existing conditions.